How does the world end? It ends in fire. From best-selling author Patrick Ness comes a story of revenge, redemption, and dragons. When Sarah Dewhurst's father hires a dragon to work on their farm, they unwittingly set in motion a prophecy that involves an assassin, a cult of dragon worshippers, two FBI agents, and Sarah herself. Russell T. Davies calls Burn exhilarating and heart-stopping. Burn by Patrick Ness, out now in hardback and ebook.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show podcasts are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Discover the many ways you can join in at nerdyshow.com/support. This program may contain strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 177.
Yep.
Yeah, 177. Yeah. I just posted it a couple days ago, and I can't even remember now. This is 177, and I am your stupid awesome analyst, John Star. And with me is Hard Man with Hard Opinions, AFLM.
Hi.
Our king, Baby Duck Evan.
Hey, that's Evan Sensei.
Evan Sensei now, right?
Yeah.
It was Dylan. Was Dylan Senpai?
Dylan Senpai.
No stealing nicknames and people.
Yeah, no stealing nicknames. Just FYI, for people who don't know, I'm actually teaching English to Japanese kids now, so I am officially a sensei.
What fun!
Do they call you Evan Sensei?
No, they just call me Evan. I feel weird having the kids call me Sensei, but I'm just doing it here just so I could be kind of an asshole.
Nice.
Speaking of assholes, security guy Greg.
Hola, I have a normal voice again. Yay!
And Elite Four Derek.
Elite Four Derek Kuhn. I can have nicknames too.
You are the most adorable of us all, so Kuhn fits you well.
Yeah. Derek Ton.
So, this episode, we're going to be doing some fun stuff. We actually had decided last minute, right before we started recording, that we had so much fun with the Channel A stuff last time and making our anime. We're going to do it twice this episode. We're going to do a Channel A sandwich. So we're going to start with one and then we'll end with one. Sound good? I don't care. So,
all right. Yeah, this week I have the premise cards and John will have the titles. Yeah. So, how many do I draw again? Set five or seven?
Five. Draw five and pick two. And I just picked my seven title cards, and three of them are blank. So I gotta do some redrawing.
All right. So let me pull up the chat in here just in case. So my premise, the five I have here are Sentai, sentient robots, slice of life, utopia, and an urban fantasy.
Ooh, urban fantasy.
Can we request you write this down in the chat? So, because
yes,
my
that's what I'm
going
to do right now.
Awesome. Thank you.
I have Sentai.
Oh, man, urban. If only I had some elevator waiting music while Evan types everything down. Evan started whistling them.
Or
I was thinking the oh, there we go. Okay.
So Sentai, urban fantasy, utopia, slice of life, or sentient robots.
Oh my gosh. A sentient robot slice of life.
Yes. I was gonna say that.
Okay. Do we all agree sentient robot slice of life?
No, wait, I got one. Hold on. I like this one.
It's two words. You can just say it, Greg.
Derek and I are already on similar wavelengths today. We were making fun of Greg and coming up with genres.
Another great elevator music.
Just a reminder, you're only picking two, right? Okay.
No, Greg, it's not the title. These are the genres.
Oh, I don't know. That's the title. Yeah, we'll go with what you guys said then.
Sentient robot slice of life. What is that in your mouth, Greg?
It is floss.
Oh.
Promoting oral hygiene.
Okay, so
oral hygiene.
I'm kind of at a, like, I picked terrible cards for these titles, but I'll write them anyways. Let's see what we can come up with.
Okay.
So our words to work with are eater, ooh, UFO, Z, diver, sailor, love, and kiss.
Wow. Oh, dear. We can literally just create a huge amalgamation of all shonen and shoujo anime. That's dumb.
I feel like, I don't know. These are like, these, I don't feel like these are, these words work.
Kiss eater.
I mean,
love kiss eater E Z.
Love eater, eater
kiss diver.
Going down under.
I guess we're going. Yeah. So, okay.
All right, I'm going to throw in for UFO Kiss Z.
Let's see. Okay, yeah. I have a serious one here. Hold on.
I hope it enables all seven of the words like I tried for last time. Good luck, Derek.
UFO Eater, Sailor Love Kiss Diver Z.
I wish it was more like Love Diver Kisses Eater instead of just Kiss. Ooh, Z Diver Love Kiss.
That's actually a good one. The sentient robots are called Z Divers, and Love Kiss is a slice of life because they're in love.
Is that a real thing, or did you just kind of make that up? Because that was pretty impressive.
I just made it up.
Nice.
I'm going for robots if I throw in a UFO eater in there.
I mean, so if we have sentient robots and it's their daily lives, then I mean we're kind of, it seems like with the kind of stuff that we're going towards is that there's a romantic aspect to it, which kind of is like really existential in a way if we actually write this, because it's the question of, can robots feel love?
I'd go with Andrew's pick, honestly.
Yeah, Z diver
love kiss.
Z-diver. How many times can we include Z? Z diver love kiss Z.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of like UFO kiss Z.
That's UFO kiss Z. That, yeah. I mean, like, I was somewhat of a fan of that one myself.
I would hope so, being the creator of the show.
Well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you just kind of throw words out there and it's like,
meh. Z-Diver Love Kiss actually rings.
Yeah. Z-Diver Love Kiss.
Listen, like, I'm okay with Z-Diver Love Kiss. That's
sweet. I'm the best. I'm the best.
You are the cheese.
I am the cheese. I am the best character on the show.
I am better than the salami or the bologna.
Combined.
So our show is a sentient robot slice of life called Z-Diver Love Kiss.
All right, I'm gonna start the timer. Ready?
Ready.
Okay. So we live on a planet where everyone is a robot, but at the same time, robots don't have feelings until there's one certain robot that for some reason starts feeling something and doesn't understand what that is. Turns out he's the first robot to have emotions.
Okay. Can this robot just be like awkwardly dry humping other robots, and the other robots are confused as hell? Like,
so it'd be the robot from Robot Chicken.
So what we're saying is this is the prequel to the War on Cybertron. It's like they were a bunch of robots that had no emotions, and then they got emotions called love, and then they were just like, you know what? Now that we know how to love, war.
Now, yeah, first they feel love, which only is inevitably means that they will feel hate. So my thought on it is that somebody, like a human, a scientist, creates a robot that can feel feelings, but then World War III happens and the human race is completely wiped out. And this computer is sitting there all by himself with his thoughts and feelings. I say his, like the computer is a,
and so then, it's Wally.
And yeah, right. Kind of right. And yeah. Then it decides that it can try to build itself with like with its sentience and ability to think. It figures out a way to control other machines that builds itself into a human, as to which in the series eventually ends up building other humans and humanoid rather. And so then like, so it's a post-apocalyptic past human sort of thing, kind of like Girls Last Tour, but with robots just walking around and doing everyday life things with each other. But it all starts with the end of the human race.
It's too bad in the title then with that one that you can't just take the R at the end of Diver and just shift it over a few spaces. So it's Z Drive. Z Drive. It's all like it's partitioned A through Z, and like its Z Drive is like the only empty one, and it's because it's not filled with love.
Well, oh, could, well, here's the well. This,
way,
this
way to make it sad.
Needs to be formatted first. It's not
well.
Ready.
What if it was supposed? What if it was supposed to be Z Drive, but the person who invented it was Japanese and couldn't spell drive properly, and it became Z Diver.
Drive.
Bad English. English.
Zed Diver.
Yeah. It can't be filled with hard drive space. It can only be filled with love.
Oh my gosh. It's a sappy love story.
A sappy love story about robots.
It's not a sappy love story. It's a psychological whatever Girls Last Tour was.
Transcendent.
But where's the love kiss?
Well, that's just a subtitle. It really doesn't matter.
It has to do with the ability to gain emotion, to seek out emotion, and what it means to have emotions as
actually
a machine.
Derek, you just asked, what is the love kiss? That is what the computer is asking. What is the love kiss? As it searches,
it's a phrase that's within its what's within its code, and it's trying to figure out what is the love kiss.
Oh, maybe it's trying to figure out how to create more of itself, so it looks into what the humans did. It's like, wait a minute, what is this?
Yeah, like
I kind of like that idea. It's like I'm the only machine around, so I need to create some more. How did humans do it as they created me? So then the robot is traveling around this post-apocalyptic wasteland trying to figure out how humans created more humans.
What if as it moves around the wasteland, it comes across certain things and then searches the internet for it? Like, 'cause it's got literally, 100 years of internet to dive through. Whatever's still on there, and so it's just like, I wonder what that is, and then just like cycles through the internet and like,
why does one human give colorful plants to another human on the day of anniversary?
So it just Googles everything. It just Googles everything you're saying for 100 years. Oh, nice.
Maybe tries to adapt some of those things, but does it just completely wrong, or just.
Right, because it followed a meme instead of an actual legit fact.
So this is a melancholy, man, not a slice of life.
Can I pitch an idea for this show, Z Diver Love Kiss?
Yeah, go ahead. This is what this all about.
All right, so I think post-apocalyptic world, of course, right? Robots have taken over. Z Diver is the name of our human hero, one of the last soul survivors, right? In order for these robots have somehow been transformed from previous humans. Let's say some weird infection has been going around. Every time a human catches it, they turn into a robot. Don't ask me how. This is anime, right? Mm. So
Would it be called Robid 19?
Robid 19. Oof. That's right in the feels. Right in the feels.
Not really.
So our hero, Z-Diver, has some sort of special antibodies that when he love kisses one of these mutated robots, it turns them slowly back into humans. So his mission is to go out there and transform all the robots back in to humans. However, the only way that he can do this is when he attacks or goes in for a combat move, he has to move in a Z formation. And that's why he's called Z-Diver. So he has to think
he dives in for a kiss by a Z formation.
So literal.
Ooh, it's like, no. I know, it's like dive kick of a video game, like where you can only dive kick. But
okay, I have another idea. So still sticking with the post-apocalyptic thing, but it's so far past the apocalypse that every person in the show is a robot. But they're still in the phase where they're trying to figure out, like, they're so basically at this point they're just mimicking what humans do. So like everything in the show, the joke is, well, this is what humans did, so we should too. So like you have a robot that is taking the characteristics of a human male, trying to like woo the characteristics of a robot that is a human.
I'm not
female.
Thinking of the the Bill Burr bit about the sex dolls.
Yeah.
No, see
this is funny.
See, the thing that I'm that came to my mind was the movie The Lobster. How basically like everybody in the movie is just like based off of a character of this is how humans are supposed to act, and it's just like,
yeah,
so strange but so good.
So like and that's kind of where I'm thinking about this is like, you know, you have that classic thing where the girl tries to hand the boy the love letter saying like, please go out with me, I like you, but it's a robot doing it, so it's like please go out with me, I love you, and then like
do you like me, one box says one, the other box says zero.
Yeah, things like that would be hilarious. I think that
when she hands him the letter and accidentally goes through the robot, the other robot.
But she's but she's also not actually embarrassed, but the humans beforehand were supposed to be embarrassed,
so she mimics,
she does it like she's embarrassed, even though she's not, because she's only mimicking that humans were embarrassed whenever they did this.
Exactly.
Or like there's like a robot tsundere, beep boop, it's not like I actually like you, ha 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 ha.
Wow, an entire show where they talked like that would be the most irritating thing ever.
It would have to be a four coma show, just, you know, a little 3 minute.
Yeah.
But I know, I
it'd be like it'd be like a Prometheus and Bob sort of thing.
Wait, can there be like an elderly person in there that just makes the noises from a fax machine or an old internet dial up? Doesn't even speak, just opens the mouth and
my grandpa, I love her. What do you mean that I don't understand the meaning of love?
And then that makes the and then it makes the AIM door close sound.
Yeah, that's the window with XP closing.
So do we like that concept that we've built on with that?
Yes. That's pretty good.
5, 4, 3.
That's it. That's all we have.
That's all we have.
Okay,
that was perfect.
That's it then. So that's Z-Diver Love Kiss. A sentient robot slice of life where it's past the age of humans and all robots are just mimicking human life, trying to become them again. So, and that's our show.
What was that? Slowly, 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
We are slowly building our season of anime.
Yeah, it's our spring season, which will then probably turn into our summer season, and then it'll turn into our fall season, and so on, and so on, and so on.
Forever.
Forever.
Don't sound so excited.
If anyone knows that reference, good job on you.
Okay, so we'll be bringing this back towards the end to come up with the second show. And then for now, it's time to ring the news bell, which I forgot over here.
That seems like a theme in the last three episodes. The news bell's been forgotten.
There's so much stuff that I need to grab. I mean, I forgot channel A right before we started recording, so I had to run and go get that too.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah, there we go. News bell chime.
All right.
Yay.
Okay. Who's ready for more Inuyasha Kagome? Inuyasha Kagome!
No.
Well, tough titties, because apparently we're getting a new spinoff. Yasahime, Princess Have Demon.
Now, is this Inuyasha and Kagome's child?
One of them is Inuyasha and Kagome's child, and the other one is the daughters of a daughter of Sesshomaru.
Is it still written by Rin, what's her name?
Rumiko Takahashi. She's designing the characters and she's devising the story. She's making sure they don't fuck it up, but
again, so, they're probably like, here's $1 million, tell us it's good, and she's just like, okay, whatever.
I heard it's basically gonna start with a very similar premise where it's gonna be like one of the kids goes into a portal and ends up in a post-feudal Japan.
Actually, so I had the premise right here. In feudal Japan, half-demon twins Towa and Setsuna are separated from each other during a forest fire. While desperately searching for their younger sister, Towa wanders into a mysterious tunnel that sends her into present-day Japan, where she is found and raised by Kagome Higurashi's brother, Sota, and his family. 10 years later, the tunnel that connects the two eras has reopened, allowing Towa to be reunited with Setsuna, who is now a demon slayer working for Kohaku. But to Toa's shock, Setsuna appears to have lost all memories of her older sister. Joined by Moruha, the daughter of Inuyasha and Kagome, the three young women travel between the two eras on an adventure to regain their missing past.
Yay! Hey,
not bad, not bad. But
I'd give it a watch.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
First, I have to watch Inuyasha.
Nah, solid five out of ten.
I'm going to skip past the actually watching Inuyasha thing.
I'm going to watch Inuyasha Kai, where they cut it down by cutting out all of the Inuyasha Kagome sequences.
Yeah.
It's a 12-episode series. Did you know this?
Yeah. Exactly. It could be interesting. It's supposed to be coming out in the fall, although odds are it's probably going to be delayed because you know what.
That's really soon, actually. That seems really soon to me.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right. So... and now we've got another light novel series that is going to be reaching its end. It has been announced that That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime will be entering its final arc in the 18th volume.
No!
Greg, also, do you know what that is?
No, I don't, because I've never watched the show. I know of the show.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either, but...
again?
Good. It's definitely one of the better isekai shows.
Yeah, again? I'm always happy when I hear that an anime is ending.
Right. Or rather, like, not always the reason. The source. It means that, hey, they're letting me finish this. They're not chaining me to this desk for all eternity and making me write chapter after chapter like poor the One Piece creator.
Yeah, which, by the way, I saw a thing online one time where, like, somebody just took a little snippet from an interview with him saying that in 1997 he reported that the series would be over in 5 years or something like that. It was like 1997, 1999 or something like that. He said, yeah, the series is going to be over in 5 years.
Well, apparently as of 2018, he said the story was... like 75% complete, so it has like 5 years left in it now.
There is no way that he has that many good ideas.
Well, I know. but apparently the arc that it's currently in is its final arc.
Yes.
So
that's a long arc.
That is a long arc.
It is a long. I mean, it's a long show, but
it's a long. It's almost over. Isn't it like right out like 1,000 episodes?
I think over. At this point, because I'm pretty sure a couple years ago, Victoria, mm-hmm. like Victoria was still in college when she was watching the like 700s. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was in I was in college when it first popped up on 4Kids. Oh, yeah. I know there are a lot of hiatuses going on right now. Oh, they just announced for one. This one's kind of interesting because it's Golgo 13, the professional.
What?
Golgo 13, the professional? You know that
series, I know, right? But a hiatus?
Yes, it is. It's going on hiatus for the first time in its 52-year run.
I got to be honest. I didn't know Golgo 13 was still going.
Oh, yeah. It's the longest running manga, like, ever.
It's the Law and Order of assassination manga.
Oh.
There's always someone out there that needs to be killed.
Executive producer, Dick Wolf.
Actually, Dick Wolf could probably do a really good Golgo 13 adaption.
I would pick.
I would watch that.
Although, or is Dick Wolf one of those people who's like Tom Clancy, where he's been dead for 1,000 years and people just use his name to get people to watch shows?
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't know if Tom Clancy happened during dinosaur times or the 70s.
I thought the 70s were dinosaur times, no?
It is to us. It is to us.
It's been, what, 50 years since then?
Oh, man.
Oh, God, it's scary.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I always say, when we were born, Thundercats seemed like a really old show. Now, like, you think back and we're just like, man, remember when SWAT Cats was cool? And the generation is currently like, man, SWAT Cats is like an ancient show. And it's like, no.
Oh.
Go back into your room, Grandpa.
I mean,
that's still one of my favorite theme songs is the SWAT Cats one.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Oh, most definitely. That was, that's a kick-ass theme song. Did I tell you guys about the time I got OK Boomered online?
Ooh, no.
No, you did not.
It was great. I wore it as a badge of honor. So I don't remember. I don't remember the context now.
It was you had put on to a Thundercats roar.
That's right. It was when I was not arguing, but I basically,
you were spilling some truths.
I was destroying them with facts and logic over Thundercats roar, and then somebody okay boomered me.
Yeah.
Considering that, like, it's like, wait, Mr. Boomer was my grandfather.
I'm just boomer to you.
Do you think the same people who like Thundercats roar are the same people who enjoyed the Plandemic documentary?
I still have no idea what this Plandemic documentary. And
don't
I've
look
seen,
into it.
And I've seen a lot of conspiracy videos on COVID-19 so far. So, like, I mean, I could watch it and just be like, yeah, sure, whatever. And
I've seen you're a wrong. Lot of I've seen a lot of under the sea like parodies of COVID-19, and I don't know why that song in particular is being made.
No, I saw ones for Kiss the Girl, not Under the Sea.
Oh no, I saw a guy literally like singing COVID-19, COVID-19, COVID, and I'm not going to reenact it, but it was just really weird.
Well, if somebody can find a copy of Plandemic, then send it to me because I want to watch it.
And make fun of it.
I enjoy after. Conspiracy theories.
It's a conspiracy. Anyways, back to anime. So it looks like Studio Trigger is continuing on with the franchise of SSSS Gridman with a new series, SSSS Dinazenon, which was just revealed. Hopefully, they're saying that it may be released later this year, although, like we said, maybe not.
The world just begged for more thick thighs is all.
Uh-huh, and cute feet.
Thick thighs save lives.
That's true. Although, speaking of the Studio Trigger, it has been announced that their current show, Brand New Animal, is all animated and completed, so there won't be any delays in that regard.
I can't wait.
We're getting that on Netflix, right?
Yeah, they've actually been already releasing it in Japan, chunks. So hopefully that'll mean that we will get it much sooner rather than, you know, later.
There's already tons of fan art on Twitter and stuff.
Oh yeah, I've seen some.
And it's funny how well fan art translates to the actual art style of Trigger, because, well, Trigger has such a good art style. I saw a couple really good ones. I actually think I retweeted some on my Twitter because they were just so good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Oh wait, no, I put it on the Wicked Anime Discord as well. Yeah. So yeah. I'm excited for that show. I don't even know what it's about. I just
same.
Like, I just yeah. see
it's
like,
got a cute animal girl.
Yeah, I was like,
all right. Yeah,
like, that's a cute raccoon girl. I'm in.
Yeah.
The end.
The end. I know it's from the director and like writer of Little Witch Academia, so you perfect. Know it's going to be a good fun time.
Perfect.
All right. So one other thing, who here besides myself has heard of or watched the anime series Yuru Yuri?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No. Okay. No. Never mind. No. No, I have not.
Okay. So apparently on an April Fool's, for an April Fool's joke, they made a joke saying that they are doing an isekai version of Yuru Yuri. Well, it's not a joke anymore. They're actually doing it.
Huh.
It was such a bad joke. They realized people actually wanted that as a product. Like, okay.
Yeah, I guess sure, we'll do it. Yeah, okay, why not? And one of the characters is a slime girl, of course. Crickets. Okay, never mind.
I think we need more Yuri Yuri fans in order.
Yeah, more Yuri Yuri. Yeah, dude, it's a Dogakoba anime. Watch it.
I'm familiar with the show. It's just it's a concept that's kind of out of my realm of comfort, I think.
It's not that it's good. I mean, yeah, it's. I mean, there are. It's called Yuru Yuri because there are some Yuri elements to it, but it's not that. It's not bad. I actually enjoyed the show.
Hmm.
Let's see. All right. How about some Junji Ito strange news?
Yeah. Yes. I always love strange news.
Okay. So horror manga artist Junji Ito shares terrifying drawing of Amabie, the epidemic protector yokai. And
topical.
Yes, it is creepy as hell.
Are you gonna post it?
Yes, give me just a moment. I keep forgetting where the Zoom icon is. There you go.
Can't forget that Zoom icon.
You know what it reminds me of? It kind of reminds me of like the remember in the episode of C-Lab 2021 where they go where like the Bizarro characters come in?
No, I don't remember that episode of C-Lab.
You know, Bizarro, I love you, Bizarro.
It looks like Cousin It mated with a chicken.
What?
I remember seeing this drawing somewhere. I forget where.
It almost looks like something that came out of one of those scary story to tell in the dark.
Yeah.
Because like, and I'm not just saying that because, you know, oh, horror art. No, like this character specifically, because I'm a big Junji Ito fan, so I don't normally compare his stuff to other stuff. I'm just saying this specific character looks like something that would appear in like a Scary Stories illustration by what's that artist's name who does the Scary Stories?
I can look that up.
Guillermo del Toro.
R.L. Stein.
Mr. Rogers.
R.L. Stein? No, this is a real horror artist.
It is.
I like Mr. Rogers' answer. Can we go with that?
And listen,
Stephen Andrew. Gamow. Stephen Gamow is his name.
Yeah, Stephen Gamow was awesome.
And listen, Andrew, don't you dare mock R.L. Stein. Like,
no, I mocked R.L. Stein.
Technically. No, but Andrew said a real horror artist, which is like.
I mean, I kind of meant it like that, but I didn't really mean it like that.
Hey, every joke has some truth in it, so.
Yeah. Did you hear that they're going to be rebooting the Goosebumps TV show?
Dun, 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 dun.
Is it still going to be, like, crappy Canadian films?
I kind of hope.
Yeah.
So, little trivia. One of the actors that was a recurring, like, cast member in there was Ben Cook, who is the guitarist for the band Fucked Up, and is Young Gov as well. I don't know, Andrew, you might remember when I talked about his albums Gov 1 and Gov 2 on our top albums of 2019.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It doesn't beat out Ryan Gosling being on Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I don't think anything will beat that out.
He was on Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah, he was.
Actually,
Ben Cook and Ryan Gosling did do a show together in Canada as well. I forget if it was a Goosebumps episode or it could have been an episode of Anne of Avonlea.
Or was it the Halloween episode of Degrassi? Every Canadian actor was on there.
What's a Canadian?
It's a faraway mythical land.
Yeah, they're when they talk, their heads are kind of like wop 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 wop, and they like to fart on each other.
Oh yeah, got that. No, I got that.
Yeah.
They have one road.
We were watching, Christine and I were watching the Dudley Do Right film the other day.
Oh my God, that film was so underrated.
There are so many awesome Canadian jokes in that movie. It's amazing. And also American jokes too. Like if you haven't seen that film in a long time, go revisit it. We also watched George of the Jungle too. Both of those movies hold up so well.
They do. Like, I find it funny that Brendan Fraser would play two characters from two different universes created by that guy.
And they probably would have kept making those old... Who was the guy who made those cartoons?
Jay Ward.
Jay Ward, that's right. They would have kept making those two if the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie wasn't a total flop.
Which is a shame, because I enjoyed watching that film.
I didn't really like the Rocky and Bullwinkle film, but we found out, though, that they did do George of the Jungle 2, but Brendan Fraser didn't reprise his role in it because I guess he got fat during the production of it, so they didn't hire him back because he didn't have the body type of George of the Jungle anymore.
Wait, so they didn't do George of the Jungle the middle-aged years? What the heck?
Dad bod. George of the Jungle. He did have a son in it, so, I mean, it would make total sense.
Yeah. Oh.
Meanwhile, Liam Hemsworth is getting around with Liam or Chris? I always mix the two up.
Chris.
Whichever one's getting around with Fat Thor.
Oh, that's Chris Hemsworth.
Hey.
Liam's his younger brother who dated Miley Cyrus or was engaged and they broke it off.
Yeah. And in Ragnarok, when they were doing like a little Thor play, his brother was playing the fake Thor in that.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And then Matt Damon was playing Loki, who also played Loki in Dogma.
Speaking of Taika Waititi films, new Star Wars film directed by him.
Yes!
Or rather, yeah,
let's
Star Wars.
To the West.
We've already been there. We've been talking about Jay Ward.
Oh, yeah. And Goosebumps.
Yeah. So we've been there for a while.
In Canada.
So
into the great white north of the West.
Yeah. I feel optimistic about Taika Waititi taking over a film as long as they don't do the thing with Lord and Miller.
Where they're like, oh, we're firing him and we're putting him with Ron Howard. And then
it's too funny.
It's too funny. People want there to be funny.
I mean, so for those who don't know, Taika Waititi directed episode 1 and episode 8 of The Mandalorian, and they were fantastic. Oh. They had such a great balance of film. Like, basically, if IG-88 was in the episode, Taika Waititi directed it. So
I thought you were going to say of Star Wars, and I was like, no.
Yeah, no. Episode 1, episode 8 of Star Wars. No, he would have lost all my respect if he was either one of those directors. Although Rian Johnson has done some great films.
I thought it was Rian. It's Rain.
I think it's Rian.
I could be wrong about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's done some great films, just as Star Wars Episode 8 was not one of them. Every director has a flop. I mean, Brad Bird is one of my most favorite directors of all time, but he made one of the worst Disney films of all time.
Tomorrowland.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Tomorrowland is a nightmare. That's not even a movie. Like, I don't know what's going on with that.
It's not a movie. It's an experience. Great.
A terrible experience.
you literally get to watch an hour and a half of your life die. So it's quite the experience. Anyways, we're talking about Taika Waititi and Star Wars.
Yeah. And speaking of which, apparently in the new season of What We Do in the Shadows, which is awesome if you haven't been watching it, Mark Hamill is going to be playing a vampire in it.
So I heard. Yeah. I actually haven't seen any What We Do in the Shadows. I think that's the only Taika Waititi property I haven't seen. Except
that is okay. For that is your homework. That is your homework, John Starr. You have to watch.
I have it on my computer. I have what we I've watched like a half hour of it, and I haven't finished it yet.
Keep on going, and then start watching the series because man, it's crazy what they're coming up with for like ideas for vampire lore, and they're just really hilarious, and they're executed so well.
So one of my coworkers told me about the energy vampire, the one who works in an office building and just takes away everybody's will to live.
He just goes like, "Hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere," and then the guy just goes. The episode, the most recent one, it was about the energy vampire getting a promotion, and he's actually kind of become the best character in the whole series.
That's funny. Yeah, so look forward to that. We're in Into the West. I feel like there was something else Into the Westy that I had watched recently.
Into the Westy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, we're now talking strictly about small breeds of dogs. Did you know that you can hold a Westie up by his tail? It's the strongest tail in any dog breeds, is because they went into rat holes, and then you could grab them by the tail and pull them out of the rat hole.
That sounds like animal abuse, man.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Who the hell figured that out, and why are they not in jail?
That's why they were bred.
Yeah, that's why they're bred, so that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We used to have that was Silent Terrier.
And that was Into the Westie.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favorite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and this is Helen.
Hello.
We wanted to let you know about a new podcast series called Squiggly Careers, Ask the Expert. Each week we'll be interviewing a different expert from around the world, focusing on one skill to help you be your best at work and look after your mental health in the months ahead.
You'll hear conversations full of insights and ideas for action with people including Martha Lane Fox on resilience and Simon Sinek on purpose. To listen, just search for Squiggly Careers.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andrew, I know you've been watching Star vs. the Forces of Evil.
I have. I actually finished Star vs. the Forces of Evil in like less than 2 weeks because I just watched it as I was working and just powered through it. I really enjoyed it. I really thought it was a very good show. The first season is phenomenal. And then the second season, it like really kicks off into like a consistent storyline and not like a episode of the week type thing. So you get a consistent storyline all the way through 2, 3, and 4, and then it kind of gives you the last episode was like, yeah, it's good, but it didn't make me think or anything, so it felt kind of cheap. Where they were,
it wasn't like the finale of Gravity Falls.
The finale of Gravity Falls kind of just like was this crescendo of amazingness, and then it was just like end, where Star versus the Universe was like, and now somebody has to make a choice, and it's really it would be a powerful moment if somebody had to make a difficult choice, and then everybody's happy and you're just kind of like, oh, like that doesn't make any sense, don't do that.
Deus Ex Machina.
And so it can kind of be explained away as to why it happened, but I'm obviously not going to spoil that for anybody because everybody has access to the entire series with Disney Plus now, if you have Disney Plus. Because I highly recommend you watch it. It's a phenomenal series. It's really funny and very cleverly written. It's very well animated in its, CalArts style. And, they have more frames of animation than most CalArts style shows do.
Mm-hmm. And articulation.
Speaking of other like Disney Plus shows, and Aaron Kagami from Scarlet Rhapsody pointed this out. Apparently, in the new DuckTales, the animators have been sneaking in Lupin the Third references in the background.
That's
and with
dope.
Some of the characters.
That doesn't surprise me. The new season of DuckTales is actually really good. I think they've been premiering those on Disney Plus as well. But yeah, the new series season 3 is super cool because they have so many characters that they've brought back over the years, and now like the cast is really wide and diverse, and a lot of really cool episodes.
Mm-hmm. A Leaf for Derek is now a bucket of chicken.
Oh my goodness. That's is that trademark?
Yeah, you can't say that. Greg, you have to edit that out. Or else we're going to get copyright stripped.
That's knuckle looking good.
To give us free KFC, which I would be okay with.
I do like that the icon for Derek's bucket of chicken is cut off right where it's supposed to say KFC, so we can't get copywritten for it.
Well, yes, we wouldn't be showing the video anyway.
I know.
It's not Colonel Sanders, it's Hayao Miyazaki.
Cutting out the... It's
No, I have an idea how to fix that.
Don't. You're just going to mess it up, Greg. You're just going to mess it up.
I don't want to get sued today.
You can't get sued just by saying a slogan.
Yes, you can. Are you kidding? It's copyrighted.
Well, just a good neighbor, like a good neighbor.
Are you kidding? You're making more work.
Come on. Ba-ba-ba-ba.
I'm just going to like bleep out like one of the words.
Their, I don't think that's their thing anymore.
What, for State Farm? Yeah, it is.
No, ba-ba-ba-ba.
We just going to snip this out because we can't say that.
Loving it for McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, it is, dude. Are you kidding me?
No, it's now, what is it? Please come eat here, doctors.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to do so much bleeping that I'm going to have to, like, the parents are going to be worried when their children listen to this podcast. Like, why are they swearing so much?
They should be worried anyways.
Yeah, why are they listening to us in the first place?
Come on, Greg, have it your
And that was Into the West?
I guess so.
Why does it always end like that now? It always ends on me. Just, what? Okay.
Me being hungry has severely derailed everyone.
Yeah. I think it's just John derails.
Why don't
so
you
outside
just...
of the Western shows, what's everybody watching?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing new. Nothing new.
I've been watching Dragon Ball, actually, because I still have yet to watch the entirety of the series. Wow. So I'm like halfway through it now. Yes. I want to get to the King Piccolo saga because I've never seen that, and that's supposed to be the really good one. But I forgot how often you see Goku's genitalia.
Yeah.
It's so hairy.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's not.
He's like, five.
That's even more awkward that you just said, no, it's not.
Oh, yeah, because you see it very often.
And you also see Bulma's boobs and butt.
Oh, God.
And this was a children's show.
Did you know that Bulma does not have balls? But that's okay.
That's actually a line in the show, Greg.
Well, then, I guess Dragon I'm never
Ball,
watching the show.
Dragon Ball is a very different species from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah,
it's the best one out of the whole bunch, to be honest with you, just because of how much to get away with.
Well, and they re-released the manga in the United States like a couple of years ago, and it's all censored now. It's all completely censored. They like cut it to pieces for some reason, because they knew that younger children were going to be buying it. So I guess that's kind of a smart move.
So make a kid's version and an adult's version.
And all of the characters in question with nudity are all like 16 or younger.
Yeah. They could do that, like make a kid's version and an adult version, because they did
the
Street Fighter movie. There was the red box version and the yellow box version. The yellow box version had all the Chun-Li nudity cut out of it.
Yeah. You know, the terrible version.
Yeah. Well, that's...
But yeah, what you do is you release the censored version in the physical form, and then in the digital form, you have the uncensored version.
Well, the Chun-Li fight scene in that movie is like one of the best animated fight scenes in animated fight scene history.
Oh, yeah, without question. Not because she's naked, but because just the fluidity of the animation is so
great. It's like a legitimate good fight.
And then the song that plays in the background, like the "Give It to Me," that song.
That's right.
Yeah, the when Westerners actually made like a great soundtrack to replace the original Japanese one. Am I the only one in that boat?
Yes.
Possibly.
Okay.
It's okay, Evan. We still love you.
Okay. So one show that I've been watching, and I'm actually still surprised I'm watching because it's from the same team who did Pop Team Epic. It's a show called Gal and Dino, and basically the show is about just this, you know, the gal type of, like, Japanese girl sharing an apartment with a dinosaur. And the reason why I'm still watching it is because there's this kind of wholesome aspect to Gal and Dino that Pop Team Epic absolutely did not, that makes it really enjoyable to watch. Not to mention they're like half the show is live action, so you get to see a guy dressed up as like the dino in the full suit, and those moments are actually really funny.
As long as they don't play the same episode twice in the same half hour and nope, just change they don't. The voices.
No. So what they sometimes do is they do a similar plot line from the animated version into the live action version, but they do different things.
That's fine. I think that that's a much better concept. And I just felt like when I heard Gal and Dino, it's just, I was kind of like immediately on board with it because I don't know what it was about Pop Team Epic that just, you know, from right off the bat, you're like, there's something wrong here. There's something not working with this show, you know, and just straight from a conceptual standpoint. I mean, from a conceptual standpoint of having every segment being animated by a different person, I think that's a great concept. It's just that the bare bones skeleton that they had to work with the characters and stuff like that did not.
Right. It's kind of like there's that show on FXX that I like called Cake. Where like everything is like a different segment and such. Like I love what they did with the first season and having that Odrome node, like the live action and all the animated stuff. The second season of Cake had this recurring bit called Shark Lords, where it's two guys from Australia doing a documentary about wanting to fuck sharks. And it's like the worst thing I've ever seen them do.
Sounds like a cult classic.
It's almost unbearable to watch.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing that you get with shows like Cake, and I mean in the sense it kind of reminds me of Love, Death, and Robots, where like you would watch and then some of them would be good and then others would be terrible.
Yeah,
some would be animated.
From my standpoint, like, I never thought anything was bad with Love, Death, and Robots, but I can understand where you're coming from regarding quality-wise. To me, there were some that were okay, and then there were some that were top tier. Right.
Well, you could compare it simply to Saturday Night Live as well, where,
It's
just like some, like you have one sketch in an episode of Saturday Night Live that's a hit, and then the rest of them are just jokes that don't have a punchline.
Right, like, or like Robot Chicken or Tim and Eric's Awesome Show.
I don't know. Tim and Eric's Awesome Show always kind of got
it. It was 100% on all the time.
Yeah, they were always on. Which they have a new show coming out with the Meat Boys or something like that.
Yeah. Beef House. It's come and gone. It's all on, you can watch it online or through Adult Swim.
No way.
Beef House, yeah.
Oh, I got to watch it then.
So much to watch.
Good things about it. Like, they made a twist on the whole 1980s family sitcom thing and actually made it like legit funny. Like, I've heard good things.
I gotta watch that. We got Eric
back into the West suddenly from what we're watching.
I think Wicked Anime has just turned into like, let's talk about any TV show ever now.
I will say, like, for back to anime, I will start watching Crunchyroll just put the whole first season of City Hunter from the 1980s on there.
I really
want to watch all of those because with the new movie that just came out, like, I've heard amazing things about the movie. Not to mention too, going a little bit further, going back to Into the West and maybe going a little bit to the East, the country of France had a new live action version of City Hunter called like City Hunter Nicky Larson. And I heard it's one of the funniest films to come out of France in a very long time.
Yeah, that's cool. Huh.
Wouldn't France still technically be in the West?
I do like to laugh at France. It is a thing I like to do.
Hey, listen, they have some of the best animators in the world.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Speaking of which, I can't believe we didn't bring this up. Wakfu Season 4 is going to be going up on Kickstarter.
Yeah, I got to finish Season 2.
And three.
One.
I don't even know how to get a hold of Season 3.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, the you watch Season 1, Season 2, and then the three-part Eggs of the three-part Dolphus Egg trilogy, and then Season 3.
Maybe that's what I should watch next while I'm working. Like, I'll throw on Wakfu while I work.
Though you catch up. So, you know.
Suffer through the English.
Yeah, so the English dub for Season 1, 2, and the miniseries sucks. But for Season 3, they actually recast everybody. They got people from Bang Zoom Entertainment to do the dub, and it's excellent.
Ooh, wow, that's going to be irritating.
Yeah, just that the French is so good.
I do love the French.
No, don't get me wrong. The French is like the perfect one.
The French is so good.
Mm-hmm. But the thing about the Bang Zoom dub for Season 3 is they did the opposite of what the Season 1, 2 and miniseries did. They cast people and made sure that they didn't sound like cartoon characters.
Right. They weren't making voices.
Yeah, they weren't pretending to do voices. They were actually just doing voices.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bugs me when voice actors are like, I'm a voice actor. Watch me do this pretend voice. It's like, no, you use your voice to make a voice. Like, use a pretend voice to play a character.
Who do you think you are? Tom Kenny? Get out of here.
Mike Judge? Come on. Oh, I'll tell you what.
He's got them three voices. He's like the ever so talented Seth MacFarlane. Or at least he thinks he is. But he has those three voices that he does. All right, that's enough bashing Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, because, I mean...
He actually does a good job at the Orville.
So I've heard.
Yeah, it's good. I'm still waiting for Season 3.
We can just continue to bash Nick Kroll over his three voices.
Oh, yeah, okay, Rick and Morty Season 4 came out.
I have to catch up on Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated that Hulu keeps advertising that they're going to have Rick and Morty, but they still only have up to Season 3.
Well, Hulu just put up the new show that Justin Roiland has created.
Yeah.
The Solar Opposites?
Yeah.
The Solar Opposites.
So what you could do is you could get a VPN and then switch your VPN to Japan, and Japan has all of Rick and Morty on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
But do they have the subtitles?
They have everything. They have English, they have Japanese, they have, yeah, it's with English subtitles.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because when I was in Japan, I would watch Rick and Morty on Netflix.
Hmm, good to know.
Yeah.
I love the fact that like the new episode that just came out is just a big middle finger to like all the fans of Rick and Morty who take the show too seriously.
That sounds like something Justin Roiland would do.
Yeah,
definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I can just picture the reactions as they're watching like the videos of all those people dancing on top of countertops at McDonald's.
Yeah, I mean, like that's what I guarantee you that's what kicked off the whole thing in the first place. Is like Justin Roiland's like, oh man, I gotta dish out some justice for people who like my show.
Yeah. He kind of does in this episode.
Yeah. I'm loving it.
All right, what do we got? What's next?
Oh my god, all the slogans, guys. God, I have to beep out so many slogans.
I was waiting for Greg to
Dude, I'm just gonna hear beep 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 in the editing.
Hey, Greg.
Beep. No, don't you do it, KFC.
Actually, we've got the...
Oh, come on!
Apparently, Wendy's doesn't. One out of four Wendy's doesn't have the meats.
No, it's Arby's. It's Arby's, right?
Arby's, yep. Because I always look at that slogan and I think it should continue and say, we have the meat sweats.
Gross.
So are we making another anime or what?
Yes, let's make another anime. Unless anybody else wants to dish out of what we're watching.
Yeah, so I forgot.
Or make fun of more voice actors.
So I went ahead and I pulled more title cards, and they're pretty good. So do you want to keep doing that? You're doing genres this episode and I'm doing title cards?
Yeah, then the next episode we'll do the other way around.
Okay, all right.
So 1, 2, 3... That's a producer card.
Craig.
One, eight, seven cars for kids.
I'll just kill you for that one in the first place.
Guys, this is weird how this one got all sent out. So first off, I have two premises that are the characters. So one is a JRPG hero right there.
Huh.
And then the other one is the character of the Indian magical girl.
Wait, can you show the first card again?
Yeah, all right. I can do that. Here.
Just hold them both up, yeah.
Okay, and then can you just like zoom in on the second one? Because I didn't see the second one. No, that's the first one. No, I'm sorry, the first one again?
Greg, this would be really funny if we were releasing the video.
That's true. Don't we?
I don't know if they want to see our beautiful faces.
They want to see my chicken.
Greg, how come your video turned off?
I shut it off because I had to itch.
I don't think they can see down there.
You got to scratch. Myself.
Just got to scratch.
That's not... No, okay.
And I kid you not. Okay, so these are the other three premises I have here. We have alien invasion. We have grotesque aliens. And we have alien babes.
Oh.
I shuffled these like so good. And like all top three ones were these.
Grotesque alien babes. I love it.
Well, type them into the chat.
All right. So one moment, please.
1, 8, 7, 7.
Character. JRPG hero. Character
1-800 cars.
Great, you stop it.
Derek got into my head. It's his fault.
And it's 1-877 cars for kids.
Don't give them money,
guys. You have to realize. You have to realize that most, I would say, almost all of our audience has no idea what you're talking about because that's a Boston-based charity company.
Yeah, but those kids need cars. Okay, so John has his title cards.
Yes.
So what did we just, let's first, what's the genre or the premise?
Oh yeah, we never picked the premise.
Grotesque aliens and alien babes.
So we're going to go with alien babes again?
Well, yeah, we did alien babes last time.
We already did do alien babes, yeah, so.
So let's not do alien babes then.
JRPG hero with an invasion?
Or grotesque aliens. Like, I would say JRPG grotesque aliens.
JRPG hero with grotesque aliens.
And then with these frickin' title pieces that you put out, like, we could, like, make a super JRPG title.
Okay, yeah, so our titles are Ocean plus God, Garden, Panzer, Peach, Fist, and Coon.
I like Peach Fist Coon. Let's go with that.
No,
Peach Garden of the Ocean God Plus. That's an RPG title.
Coon.
Yeah.
We should start.
God Fist Panzer Coon Plus.
I don't think there should be a colon there. I think it should just be Plus. God Fist Panzer Coon Plus.
God Fist Panzer Coon Plus.
God Fisting Panzer Coon Plus. Yes.
Yeah, Peach Garden of the Ocean God.
God Coon.
And to Fist God plus God Coon.
It's the sequel. God Coon. It's the sequel to Superbook.
Somebody, oh, Derek, you stole my idea. I was going to put the plus in the middle.
Panzer Fist plus God Coon.
I know, it's like two different characters. I mean,
can we do that plus?
Yes, I mean, you can. Yeah. Man, so I already have to go with Derek's because he basically did exactly what I was going to do.
Enter Fist plus Godcoon. That's funny. I like it.
I you know what? Because it kind of makes me think of a series where Panzerfist is the main character and Godcoon is riding sidecar in like a motorcycle. Plus Godcoon. You know?
Plus Godcoon. So the JRPG hero is Panzerfist?
Panzerfist doesn't really sound like a JRPG hero because usually
it is when you're high hero, and put in the character names.
Yeah, like JRPG heroes are usually like
Cloud.
I mean, well, yeah, like you have to start them off. You have to start them off a little bit like weak so that they can grow into something strong. Panzerfist sounds like somebody strong.
Panzerfist is what the JRPG hero is aiming to become.
Okay, well, wait, hold on. What if Panzerfist is the bad guy, and this series focuses on the bad guy, and the little guy is like a side character that we barely see, who's the JRPG hero.
Shall we start the stopwatch?
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. Because I think that we've all decided that Panzerfist plus Godcoon is just that's what we're going with.
Good job, Derek. I think
Panzerfist could be the name of his sword.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah. And then Godcoon is the one who teaches him the JRPG hero how to wield it, but he teaches it so poorly. Against so he's a terrible god.
Oh yeah, that's right. We have grotesque aliens as a part of this.
Yes. So the JRPG hero has to defeat grotesque aliens.
I mean, like you just like yeah, the monsters are grotesque aliens.
Like it's Godcoon, so like the JRPG hero is like, you're God, can't you just like it away? And he's like, I'm too lazy to do that.
So we don't want to dive into tropes that are already common because that sounds like Aqua from Konosuba.
Or Koenma from Yu Yu Hakusho.
What if Godcoon was a fledgling god who is like this little child who is turning into a god but doesn't know how to be one?
So kind of like the Antichrist character in Good Omens.
Yeah, right.
That's a reference.
Well, I mean, like, so Good Omens is basically a comedy version of The Omen.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that show.
No, it's kind of like...
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's kind of like a comedy version more of the Book of Revelations than anything else.
Well, but that's what The Omen is based off of.
True. Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
So, but same concept. So it would be like that, but except it's a good thing. Like Godcoon is a good guy, but you know, is trying to grow up into.
What if he is a good guy, but because he can't control his powers, he keeps accidentally doing bad stuff?
We could take it from, this is going to be a really dated reference, greatest American Hero, where he loses the instruction manual on how to be a god, so he just kind of has to figure it out. So he finds this JRPG character who is like, or okay, so what if the main character is just a guy who plays a lot of JRPGs and Godcoon is like just ends up at his doorstep somehow, and the only way that the JRPG hero, quote unquote, or this regular guy knows how to train Godcoon is because of his experience playing JRPGs.
And the game and the name of the RPG is Panzerfist.
That could be it.
Yeah.
And so like Godcoon was sent down to Earth to fight this grotesque alien horde that's coming, but he doesn't know how to do it. So he recruits the guy who plays Panzerfist in order to help him figure out how to be a god.
This premise is just hokey enough so that it's not a copy paste of another anime or uses anime trope, so I'm digging it.
I'm just rolling off the cuff
so,
here.
So the main character basically becomes the sidekick for Godcoon.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me. It could be kind of set up like who's seen Tenacious D: The Pick of Destiny, where Jack trains is getting trained by Kyle on how to be a rock star, and it's like the worst training ever.
Are you kidding? It was the best. That is how you become a rock star.
But there could be a kind of a similar premise to that.
Yeah. So does, I mean like that is that like done? Are we done with that one? That was like record time.
Yeah, that was almost like, that was under 4 minutes that we got that done.
Do we want to come up with expanding concepts of Panzer Fist plus Godkun, or do
we? Oh my God, let's do that. Let me pull up like three more. Let me do four more cards, add a premise to be the sequel to Panzer Fist plus Godkun.
Oh yeah, that's right. And add it.
Or possibly a first arc.
All right. So we have here post apocalyptic.
Okay, well, while Evan's typing this in, guys, I just want to let you know that on YouTube, movies free with ads is dirty work. And everybody should watch
that. Oh my God, movie. I actually remember going to the movie theater and seeing that as a kid.
That movie is one of the greatest movies ever, and everybody has to see Dirty Work, and it's for free on YouTube on YouTube movies.
Hey, you got a dead hooker in your car. Well, all these have dead hookers in your car.
Why do you have all of these dead hookers?
Yeah.
Great movie. That is the Szechuan whore that bit off my nose.
Wow.
So the premises I have are post-apocalyptic, gender swap, character of producer lady, and girls love.
I like the idea of post-apocalyptic because if we because that would mean that they lose the alien invasion.
Exactly. All right, yeah. All right, Jonathan, draw more title cards so that we can make a...
Oh, I was just thinking about calling this Panzer Fist plus Godkun plus.
No.
Panzer Fist plus Godkun.
That's good, but I would like to see what other title things we get just so that we can tag on something at the end.
Okay. Let's see.
Because there is the chance that we could just get a letter.
We did. Which is a funny letter. So, all right. So we have.
Mean? Is it one of those letters from Elon Musk's son's name?
Yeah.
That's just so you know. That's pronounced Ash.
Is it really? Is that his name? It's Ash.
It's no, pronounced not legal in California.
Yeah, so it's X Ash. A-12, and the A-12 is a Boeing airplane model that was like his, that where, you know, Elon Musk is an aero engineer guy, so he named his son after an aero thing. But yeah, the X, it's the X, and then that AE mashup thing is, he said, is pronounced Ash. That was his wife's idea.
He could be friends with Jason Lee's son, Pilot.
That would be amazing.
So as you guys can hear, I listen to a lot of Joe Rogan podcasts.
So we have
okay. All right. So we have new letters now. Brave, Bunny, D, Eyes, Rain, Girl, Legend. So if we wanted to do Panzerkun plus God Panzer Fist.
Panzer Fist.
Plus Godkun D plus.
I would say is it post apocalyptic that we chose?
Yeah.
Okay. I would actually go with Legend. And
That's more so what I was thinking too, yeah.
And because here's the idea. I'm gonna start the timer. We got we're gonna do 5 minutes here, okay?
I would just do 4 more minutes.
All right. 4 more minutes? All right. Oh, come on. 0-4. Here's my idea. It's Legend because it's post-apocalyptic and everyone's telling the story of Panzer Fist plus Godkun as if it was a success. Like, he successfully did it. But then it turns out he really just fucked it up this whole time.
So, like, we can very clearly see that they did not do it, but everybody talks about it like he did do it.
Right. And then another alien invasion happens, and they try to do what the hero did last time, and they realize, why is none of this working?
And so they have to, and then they're like, oh, the reason why it's not working is because it's us that's not doing it. It's not God Kun and Panzer Fist. So we have to go get them and help them help us. And it turns out that Panzer Fist and God Kun are in hiding because they're so ashamed of their failure that, and they think that everybody's going to kill them, that they're in hiding. So they're actually now running away from all the people trying to come get them to save them again.
Can they when we find them, can they like just look like hermits, just with like long ass beards?
Yeah, and
like, whoa, they're coming! They're coming!
Yeah. Oh no, everybody's coming to kill us. Why are they running away from us?
Yeah.
No, but God Kun's still like a little like young child or something, so it's just sitting there with an obviously like fake mustache.
Still the Master Roshi beard.
Man, this is great. Andrew, you have your next comic after Solarian Sun.
Yeah, and I have the big quarantine beard for it too.
I know.
I haven't shaved in like 4 or 5 weeks. Maybe 5 or 6 weeks.
Sweet so baby Jesus.
I have a big quarantine beard so that when I come out, I can be like, bro! Like,
what
out of my,
year
out
is of my this? Bunker.
Yeah, is that the sunlight?
Sweet baby God Kun.
All right, is that the
yeah, we did it. The sequel, did it. We did the sequel in under a minute.
And we did it. We're doing like anime pitch speed runs now. We should just be sending all of these ideas to Japan.
Yeah, they should just pay us money.
We gotta
yeah.
become light novel artists.
We should become the new Rooster Teeth.
Yeah.
We could just kick anime's ass. That's what I was getting with that.
That was a hype train to nowhere, Andrew.
Yeah. that was that.
Yeah. Shall we wrap it up?
I think we should wrap it up. That was fun.
All right.
Okay, everybody. If you want to join the conversation for the Wicked Anime Podcast, you can find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can send us comments, you can like cool news stories that we share, you can find posts from Evan's show, you can send us private messages, which we actually got a private message from Temsu not too long ago, where he asked us he asked us if we listened to The Who, which is a Mongolian metal band.
Oh yeah, I've heard of them. They're good.
Oh yeah, I listen to them. I'm a metalhead. I'm a metalhead, so I was working on a Mongolian comic book last year, and I was just like, well, I like metal music. I wonder if there's any Mongolian metal music, and what do you know there is? It was The Who, and so I started listening to them.
By the way, for anybody, it's not the 70s rock band. It's spelled H-U.
Yeah, V-H-U.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there. I was getting confused.
And they do that Mongolian throat singing, but folk metal music. It's really great. It's basically Korpiklaani, but Mongolian throat singing. So
it's about wrecking the city raw from last time.
So if you want to email us, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. Which is also our link to our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can watch funny old videos of Wicked Anime in its heyday when we were making funny videos. Which
when we were funny?
I still have dreams of doing that because I'm still funny, I think. But
I'm hilarious.
Yeah. Can tweet us at Twitter at Yo Wicked Anime.
I used to be somebody. Have you heard of Panzer Fist plus God Kun?
That's right. That. Yeah. I made that.
I wrote that.
We also made something else. I forget the other title now, but whatever.
We made Z-Diver Love Kiss.
That's right, because I thought that title up, so I remembered it, of course.
Hey, listen, we can't forget that this all started with Facha, the hockey anime.
So. I know.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so, and then, of course, you can find me on Facebook mostly at AFLM Art. That's one word, AFLM Art, or you know, AFL Mart, as it looks like I'm selling things. You can also find me on Instagram at AFLM_art, same as my Twitter at AFLM_art. And of course, most importantly, you can go to solariansun.com where you can read my webcomic for free, currently up to page 71. But if you want to pay as little as $5 a month, that is less than a cup of coffee per day that most people like to get. That's only $5 a month. You can get, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 pages a week, which is nuts because now Patreon subscribers are up to page 127. Think of that in terms of, well, I can get page 71 for free or page 127 for $5 a month. That's great, guys. Everybody should read my fantasy comic, solariansun.com. Evan.
All right, so for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or want to be featured on our show, No Borders, No Race, if you are a band, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter on the J-Pop Video Games and Amino pages at KingBabyDuckEarStage, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And hopefully by the time this episode airs, you can check out an interview I did with voice actress Jade Saxton, who plays the characters of Kana from Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, Rem in How Not to Summon a Demon Lord, and the adorable Hakase in Nichijo. Derek.
All right. Well, as always, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Elite4Derek. Otherwise, I will be doing some grinding up so I can wreck some noobs in Panzerfist. And also, just as a final note, I was thinking, if that metal band ever got into a feud with another one, would it be considered a Mongolian beef?
Oh.
I like it. I like it a lot.
You know, we never discussed what the rules of the game Panzerfist were.
Well, it wasn't. It was an anime. That's why. Damn. Who cares? You just make up the rules.
Checkmate.
I think I forgot to mention the Discord. If you guys are on the Facebook page, the permanent Discord invite link is there, and you should jump on the Wicked Anime Discord and chat with us there as well, because we post dank memes.
Yeah, like the one I posted, the Blazing Saddles one.
Oh, I actually posted another one, but I posted it in a different Discord that would work perfectly for the Wicked Anime. So you guys are hearing it live now on the podcast. I am posting a meme on the Discord because it is so damn good that I'm throwing that into the anime memes and everybody will laugh. And
for those of the people here who are still sticking around to listen to us, why would Godkun go
fly? Yeah, that's funny.
So, like, Godkun would go to this guy and be like, you know how to train heroes, so I need you to train me. And then Godkun is like, wait a minute, this is like one of those reverse isekais. Like, he should be very self-aware of that and think he's in like a reverse isekai or something like that. Or maybe he thinks he is the isekai world. And so he starts training Godkun, and like, yeah, you just fight enough guys and you get a new ability when you level up. And Godkun's like, okay, sure. I don't know how to do this god thing, so you must. So you level up, and then like he doesn't get a new power or level up or anything like that. So he dies.
Right. Well, maybe it's an item you have to get. We'll find you a weapon.
All right, everybody. I think we should wrap it up there, seeing that we've already signed off. But if y'all want to find me, I'll be in Conan Exiles. Just Conan exiling it up.
Yeah.
Oh, we never talked about Ghost Runner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We never talked about Ghost Runner.
Oh, that's right.
Well, that's good because I wasn't able to download the demo yet.
Yeah, I know, and I haven't played it yet, so we'll give us another couple weeks.
We'll talk about it in the next couple weeks. And you know what we haven't even talked about yet? I'm very surprised. We've never brought up the fact that Bug Rape Island actually came out.
Because oh, my gosh. Because it kind of just flopped.
Because it was the worst.
It was.
Just read the manga if you want to be depressed at watching high school kids.
Or just like disgusted. Just utterly disgusted.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you just want to be disgusted.
I mean, you get two kinds of disgusted. You can read the manga and be disgusted by that, or you can watch the anime and be disgusted by how bad of an anime it is.
Yeah.
Two different kinds of disgust.
Just like, ugh.
Ugh.
Anyway. That's it for the Wicked Anime Podcast this week. We will be around next time as the quarantine is still going on to record this kind of stuff. So for now, we will sign off the only way we know how.
Nike,
do it.
I cannot believe the fact that in that movie, it is just a scene of 2 minutes of a girl walking down the hallway.
That's the type of scene.
It's like they didn't have time to put that in the anime opening, so they just put it in the anime itself. So, Greg, is this the part where you put in your editor's corner?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if it's going to be every episode or just like whenever I feel
Whenever you're feeling sad.
No, that wasn't so, that. I listened to it again. It did not sound sad. Hey guys, Security Guy Greg here, and welcome to The Editor's Corner. Welcome everyone to this happy rendition of Editor's Corner. See, I can be happy, John Starr. Anyway, hope you all enjoyed today's episode. It was definitely a fun one to work on, and who knew slogans would be so fun bleeping out. So I actually wanted to know what you guys thought of the added sound effects. Did you like them, hate them, or just indifferent to them? We love being able to work on something that provides entertainment to you guys, and we are open to new ideas. So please let us know what you think. Just message us on either Facebook, Discord, or Gmail if you want to go that route. Well, that's all for now, so remember to stay safe out there, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Now, where did I leave my security baton?